We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Schanowski, I heard what you said.
Mark Schanowski.
I've seen a handful of different times where there was video of him lighting up Jamokes in pickup games.
NBC Sports Chicago Bulls pre- and post-game host.
Mr. Carter to you.
The most interesting man in the world.
I'm coming for you, man. You heard it here first.
Mark Schanowski with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. The NBA has been top of mind. We had a lot to talk about today. A lot of Cubs, a lot of White Sox, but the Bulls and the NBA are busy, well, reshaping themselves. And Mark Schanowski joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. You can follow him at Mark Schanowski on Twitter, NBC Sports. Sports Chicago Bulls host and analyst. I watched your entire production last night with Kendall Gill, and man, he made it very clear how bitter he is about how rich these guys are.
Yeah, that's the standard theme for Kendall. They're always talking about him being born too early. I mean, the numbers are out of control, where journeyman players are getting upwards of $10 million per season. It's crazy, and I'm sure that any guy who's about his age is thinking, why wasn't I born a little bit later?
Yeah, the numbers attached to Thaddeus Young and Thomas Satoransky, as we've seen them, are high, but seems somewhat reasonable for what the Bulls are going to ask them to do. I wonder how you see them fitting in and how those numbers fit into the cap from your perspective, Mark.
Yeah, you know, all of a sudden they're putting a nice little team together. Thaddeus Young is a pro's pro. The thing that I know that John Paxson likes about him is he's durable. He plays just about every game every season, which is something they haven't had with this young group. Too many missed games because of injuries, and I think there was also a feeling that maybe some guys could have got back quicker, and they stayed out with those injuries longer than need be. Thaddeus Young, his first quote was that, you know, I'm going to play no matter what, and I think that's the tone they want to set in that locker room. So he's a good pickup. He can play the three and the four. They can do different lineup combinations with Lowry Market and at center. And I really like the Satoransky pickup. I mean, this is a guy that's 6'7". He can play one, two, or three. He sees himself as a point guard first, and he's a solid defender. So this is a good addition because it allows them to bring Kobe White along at a slow pace, which is probably ideal for a 19-year-old kid who only played 1 year of college ball and really is still learning the point guard position.
Now, I agree with you. When you say putting a nice little team together, and that's great, but how do we bridge the nice little team with them eventually at some point competing to win the NBA title?
Yeah, there's the problem. I mean, right now the players control all the power in the league. They're joining forces to team up on the city of their choosing, and it's a bad thing for the league. You know, you've got guys that are going to find ways to play together. They're going to map out areas where they want to go, and those teams will start carving out cap space. It's pretty obvious all along what was going on. I mean, originally Durant and Irving were going to go to the Knicks, and they decided that the Nets were a better situation, and then they just changed course and moved up the road to Brooklyn. It's, you know, it's one thing to have player empowerment, that I'm all for these guys making whatever the market will bear, but when guys unite to basically create their own teams, then you got a problem. I mean, if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, they might as well shut down the league because it's just not going to be that much fun to watch. Conversely, if he goes to the Clippers, well, then we may have, you know, 6-8 teams thinking they can win the title.
I want to get to some of the big names and where they landed, you know, Brooklyn, L.A., maybe even Toronto in a second. But I do want to just tie up one more thing on the Bulls end. What does this mean for Chris Dunn?
He better start packing his bags because I don't think he's going to be here. I think he'll be with another team by training camp. There's no reason now to bring Chris Dunn to training camp because you've got Satoransky, who's going to be the starter. You want to get minutes for Kobe White, and they've still got Shaq Harrison under contract. It's a non-guaranteed deal. And honestly, Shaq Harrison's not much different than Chris Dunn. He can take those minutes if you want a 6'4 guy who can defend. I don't think there's a role for Chris Dunn anymore, and I think he'll be moved along before they get to training camp in September.
For what? Is this just you get rid of him because you got to get rid of him, or is there going to be any return?
I don't see much of a return. Maybe you get one of those second-round picks back that they love to sell and throw into trades. So Yeah, I would think you get a second-round pick. Maybe you could probably trade him to Phoenix for Josh Jackson, but Josh Jackson just had some off-the-court issues that they probably don't want to touch. So, yeah, you're either going to take back a bad contract or a second-round pick, because there's always teams that have injuries at the point guard spot, and Chris Dunn, I think, as a backup point guard, isn't going to hurt you. It's just that with the Bulls and the circumstances from him being a highly valued player to now being a bit reserved, I don't think he'd be a happy camper coming to training camp with those circumstances.
Why's Kawhi waiting as long as he's waiting?
Oh, they all love the drama, don't they? He just wanted to see how everything would shake out, and now the whole league is waiting for Kawhi Leonard to make his decision. You know, I love the move up to 5 o'clock Central time for the start of free agency, even though it started weeks earlier with all the negotiating. But it was great. You know, one signing after another, it was made-for-TV product, which is what the NBA always loves. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing all these big names coming off the board. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to watch. It's much better than starting at 11 o'clock Chicago time. And as far as Kawhi is concerned, I think that, you know, he enjoyed the fact that he won a championship in Toronto, maybe not living in Canada year-round. But I think he feels maybe a little bit of sense of, that was great, and maybe we could run it back and do it again. So if he does decide to stay with the Raptors, I'm sure it'll be one of those one-and-one player option deals where he's thinking, hey, Golden State's out of the mix next year. Let's maybe make a chance at getting back-to-back championships, and then I could still go to Southern California when I'm still a very young player in my prime.
Do you think the Bulls could be a playoff team this year?
Yeah, I think they have a chance at it. You know, Brooklyn obviously is going to be better. Atlanta, I think, is a team that's stronger. But you look at some of the other teams, Charlotte is dead in the water now. Michael Jordan just cheaped out and didn't want to sign Kemba, and basically that franchise is underwater right now. Washington is going to rebuild. The Knicks, you remember back in, I think it was 1991, when Greg Maddux didn't sign with the Cubs and went to Atlanta, and the Cubs signed all those crappy free agents? That's what the Knicks are doing right now. So
yeah, was that Danny Jackson?
I think so.
Was that you said Candy Maldonado or Danny Jackson?
Danny Maldonado, and I love Dan Plesac, but he was in that group. Willie Wilson was in that group. I mean, they were just signing a bunch of nondescript, over-the-hill players to the contracts just to make it look like they were doing something. That's
Jose Guzman, that was another thing. It was
right. That was hilarious. I mean, yeah, we lost a future Hall of Famer and a guy who had just won a Cy Young Award, but look at the volume of players we're bringing in. And that's what the Knicks are trying to sell their fan base. That's going to fail miserably in New York. I mean, that team is such a mess. You know, to see your grand plan go, you know, 10, 15 miles up the road to Brooklyn has got to be just devastating.
I know they got the number one pick, so I suppose this statement is obvious, but I'd rather be the Pelicans.
Than the Knicks?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'd rather be the Mets.
And the Pelicans have a very, very smart general manager in David Griffin now. He's pulling all the right moves. They bring in J.J. Redick as a shooter for 2 years, $26 million. They got Derek Favors, who can be a nice big that they needed after the trade of Anthony Davis. They've got a nice team that they're building, and they've got future draft picks in reserve when the Lakers bottom out after LeBron is done playing. So, kudos to David Griffin. He made the best of a horrible situation walking in, and you know, New Orleans has never really been warm to the NBA down there, but they might start getting some interest with Zion down there.
Yeah, speaking of shooting, that's a need for the Bulls still. I mean, they've got to fill that. There's no question that they're still lacking shooting for the way the game's played right now.
Yeah, but they've made some strides. I mean, Satoransky's not a knockdown three-point shooter, but he's had some success in that area. Kobe White, I think, is going to be more of a driver slasher. I don't think you can really count on him as a spot-up shooter. Maybe as he grows into his body and adjusts to the longer NBA 3, he'll become better at it. But I think initially, he's going to be a change-of-pace guard off the bench. I don't think you can get a lot of three-point shooting from him. I would love to see them get Seth Curry on the room exception, unless he signed this morning and I missed it. But that would be a good name. I know Wayne Ellington is the guy they've talked about, but
he's
the Knicks are trying to add him to their treasure trove of garbage, so we'll have to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, Ellington is a Knick. I don't think Curry has signed yet. We were just saying that outside of the obvious and Kawhi Leonard, how quickly all of the, like, 25 guys. I mean, what was clear was how much of this business was already done.
Yeah, I mean, the league just turned its back on it because they love being in the limelight with the finals ending maybe a few days earlier than anticipated. Like, oh, this is great. We'll just have everybody speculate about free agency and we'll still be in the spotlight. So it seems like no matter what they do in terms of trying to market their product, it's coming up big. It's a star-driven league. People love the speculation about free agency and trades, and And they just thought, you know what, we're just going to pick up another few days of massive attention. You know, we're in the middle of baseball season, and when you watch the national sports shows throughout the week last week, all they were talking about was free agency. The NBA has accomplished exactly what they wanted.
There were cut-ins during baseball games on national networks. They were playing a game in London, for God's sake, and the showman's doing updates on the NBA. I wonder, talking Bulls with Mark Schanowski, NBC Sports Chicago, talking NBA as well, what are your expectations for how the Warriors put themselves back together both next year and the year coming? I've seen it in places. I would imagine D'Angelo Russell's as likely to be traded as kept.
Well, I think you'll be there for this year, certainly with Klay Thompson, likely to miss all of the year. I don't know about the fit with the three of them when Klay is back. Obviously, Klay at 6'6", 6'7", could play some small forward, but, you know, D'Angelo Russell likes the ball in his hands. He's not going to be able to do that with Steph Curry as a backcourt partner, so it'll be interesting to see how that all turns out. The thing that struck me was just how cutthroat this business is. Here you had a team that would have been a historical dynasty had they won the championship this year, you know, 4 and 5 years, 3 in a row. And then they come up short because of just some bizarre set of horrible injuries, and they just blow up the team almost. And, you know, how about Andre Iguodala? Thank you for your service, playing on one leg and winning a Finals MVP. We're going to ship you off to Memphis because we need the cap space. It's just, you know, we all know professional sports is cutthroat, but that was just a classic example. And now they'll probably have to dump Kevon Looney and a couple other guys because they just don't have space to bring them back. The NBA, like all other professional sports, is a business. It's what have you done for me lately? I'm not really excited about D'Angelo Russell joining that group, but the thing I'll give him credit for is they didn't sit on their hands and feel sorry for themselves. They made a bold move that, at least as you mentioned, Connor, they've got a young player who's in his prime and could be a valuable trade asset down the road.
I think it's possible they also didn't like Andre Iguodala's comments about what went on there with commenting about the executive and Mark Jackson and why Mark Jackson was let go and all that. They probably figured that they were just going to be done with that. But and also, I think D'Angelo Russell, apparently from what we're hearing, is probably going to get traded, that they just wanted value back and they know that he can't coexist because of only having one basketball. Which brings me to Jimmy Butler. And it does look like, if you're going to make that kind of commitment, that the Miami Heat understand well enough that you're not going to have Richardson there anymore. They're apparently trying to move Goran Dragic. That if Jimmy's your guy, you have to give him the ball and you have to get out of the way. It looks like they're ready to do that.
Well, Pat Riley used to be hailed as one of the most savviest basketball minds in the NBA. And I think right now, can't say that anymore, because Jimmy Butler is going to bring his path of destruction to South Beach and blow up that locker room like he's done everywhere he's been. You know, he was politicking against Brett Brown the whole time he was at Philadelphia, and that's why they didn't bring him back. You know, they quickly signed Tobias Harris to a 5-year max deal. You notice they weren't that willing to extend Jimmy Buckets for 5 years. And if Pat Riley thinks that he can manage Jimmy Butler as the best player on his roster with, you know, all those middling players they've got there, good luck with that. If you think that's going to restore the Heat to glory, I got, you know, other ideas for it, because Jimmy is not going to change who he is, and now that he's empowered, not only as the only guy with a real big resume on that team, but he's got Dwayne Wade's tacit approval to take that franchise over, he is going to just be running wild down in Miami. So I'm sure they'll get the deal done. They'll figure out, you know, whether it's a third or fourth team to make the money work, but I would not want to build my team around a 30-year-old Jimmy Butler.
Nor would I.
No, not at all. And even if he has, I don't know, reformed himself or kind of like mellowed out a little bit, you're still trusting a guy who played 7 seasons in 4 seasons, has all kinds of miles on him, and demands the ball like that. I wonder, you know, obviously there was a lot of conversation about what was and wasn't happening between Dallas and the Heat. I still think they're going to take the next 2 weeks to figure that kind of thing out. But are the Mavericks with NBA Rookie of the Year Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis likely coming back and playing a decent amount next year? Are they interesting to you in a West that looks quite different now or not?
Yeah, I think they're a team that could contend for a playoff spot. They've done some nice things to improve that roster. But, you know, they're still lacking in a couple of areas, namely size-wise. You know, Porzingis is coming back off the serious injury, and I'm not sure what kind of player he's going to be. I assume that his first year back, he's going to be kind of tentative. I don't know if he's going to be driving the ball to the basket or being a force underneath anymore. I think he's going to be more of a perimeter guy with that team. But Dallas has done some good things in terms of solidifying the roster. I think that they have a chance maybe to compete for a playoff spot in the West. But now, if the Lakers don't get Kawhi, which I'm hoping it doesn't happen, you're going to have five or six teams that think they can win the West, and you're going to have another four or five that think they can make the playoffs. And I think that's what you like to see in terms of competitive balance, something we haven't had in the last 5 years in the NBA.
Great stuff. Strong stuff, Mark.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Mark.
It. Thank you.
Yeah, at least we've got an improved product to watch, and it's going to be interesting to see how this all fits together when September rolls around.
Yeah, I'm interested. I just want to know what the goal is. I want to know where we're headed here, but there's no question that all of this stuff makes sense, and they're doing what they said they were going to do, right?
They're more watchable, and that's a good thing.
Yay, watchability.
Hey.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
I love Mark Schanowski. I love talking hoops with him. And when the man's talking about the Knicks and gives you the phrase, treasure trove of garbage, you know you're talking to somebody who knows his way around the league. That is a great phrase.
Yeah, and Jimmy's a path of destruction. You're talking about him like he's some sort of a moving storm.
Oh, that's just terrific.
Speaking of storms, by the way, I want to thank everybody that had us out at the Pride Parade yesterday.
Oh, did you have a good time?
My wife and daughter, again, had the opportunity to march with a large group of friends and athletes with the Chicago Gay Hockey Association, the You Can Play team, and the Chicago Blackhawks. We're all sort of one big group there. And it
did you duck the weather? Or?
Well, it was a lovely day.
It came in through.
Well, I will tell you, we were about maybe three quarters of the way through the parade. We were getting up toward Belmont, and that coming up from the north, but I kept looking back as we're walking up Halstead, and I'm looking behind us, and that thing looked biblical.
Yeah.
And it turned out it wasn't. It actually was the brunt of it missed us.
Yeah.
But I was getting a little scared that we were going to get caught in something, so we were able to kind of duck out of there in time and miss the brunt of it. But it was scary watching that.
It was an angry storm as it rolled in. Yeah. And later in the night, there was a whole bunch of thunderclaps. I had windows shaking at the house, all that kind of stuff. Scrolling through everybody's Instagram stories and whatnot who were at the parade, everybody's slideshow or story looks the same. It's like three or four pictures of like total fun, bananas time, all this kind of stuff, and then everyone's soaked, just absolutely soaked through because the rain got everybody.
I love the sloganeering. I love the profane t-shirts. I love the in-your-face nature of so much of that stuff. But there were really nice people all around, and to see the support from so many, to see Mayor Lightfoot and Tammy Duckworth and Tony Preckwinkle and the number of people out there, it's just it's really, really special to be involved with that, and I was glad I could do it again.
All-star reserves are announced in baseball. The Cubs going through some rough times, but have had a couple of guys named to the All-Star game. White Sox have as well. But if you compared one position to another, one tentpole franchise player to another in this town, you might be surprised what you'd find in the National League versus the American League. Put some breadcrumbs out there for you in terms of these all-star rosters.
Very cool. We'll get to that. We also have to hear Mike Francesa's pre-free agency thoughts. He put a prediction out there in a way that only the Pope can. We had some vintage stuff from him last week, but we should probably revisit this too. And also, Andrew Shaw's coming back to the Blackhawks.
Yes. Good work with him. And we'll talk with Jay Zawoski about what it means for the Hawks as NHL free agency is kicking off as well. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score. Lots to do here before we get out of here. We've got some gold from Mike Francesa. NHL free agency is on its way. We'll talk to Jay Zawoski in just a couple. But I noticed something on Twitter over the weekend, and again on the text lines this morning when we got in, from Cubs fans and Sox fans wondering why Anthony Rizzo got snubbed from the All-Star game where Jose Abreu got in. And right off the bat, I thought immediately, okay, well, obviously it's just a difference between depth in the National League and the American League at first base. We went through this a little bit last year and really even the year before in the American League. First basemen just weren't hitting all that well in the American League the last couple of years. And Abreu had hit fairly well, though even last season wasn't a great year for him. You want to know how different the depth is between the National League and American League when you look at that position? Okay, so the very top of the board in the American League is Carlos Santana with a wins above replacement at 2.6. Daniel Vogelbach, 2.1. Then it's Trey Mancini at 1.8, Edwin Encarnacion, 1.7, Luke Voit, Yandy Diaz, all around 1.5, something like that.
Huh.
Jose Abreu is 0.7 wins above replacement so far this year. He loses a lot of points because he didn't play defense all that well and does play a little bit of DH too. So you go over to the National League. Your starter is Freddie Freeman, who's 2.9. He's not even tops on the list. Pete Alonso, 3.4. Max Muncy, 3.1. Freeman's at 2.9, damn near 3. Josh Bell at 2.3, even though he's a horrible defensive player. Reese Hoskins, Anthony Rizzo there in the sixth spot.
Yeah, he's not really even close.
Eric Hosmer. He's not. He's having a really nice season, but NL first basemen are, on the whole, just a hell of a lot better, starting with Pete Alonso, who in his rookie season gets named to an All-Star game and looks like he's going to be a damn good player for a little while.
Little news breaking here from Adrian Wojnarowski, who says that Seth Curry has reached an agreement with Dallas.
Okay.
4 years, $32 million.
You know, when you brought it up with Mark Schanowski just a little while ago, I thought, yeah, that does make a little bit of sense. You could use some shoesting from the Bulls, but not happening.
The room exception is probably not going to be enough to get that done. Now, there was a trade made in the NHL with the Blackhawks exchanging some draft picks to bring back an old friend, and now they are on the cusp of free agency themselves, with most expecting it's going to be a relatively quiet period for the Blackhawks. So we bring in Jay Zawoski, who is our Blackhawks expert. Andrew Shaw's back. Is that a good thing?
I think so. When you look at some of the deals that are being signed today, some very kind of middling players signing huge, colossal deals because, frankly, beyond Artemi Panarin, there's not a lot of huge name free agents. Andrew Shaw at $3.9 million is looking very appealing. He had a career year last year despite missing like 20 games. He is exactly what the Blackhawks need. He's not a star by any means, but he's physical. He can play penalty kill, power play. He's a right-handed shot. They only have one right-handed shooting forward. It just checks a lot of boxes for the Hawks, so I think it does make a lot of sense.
Why did the Habs have to let him go?
Well, they're trying to... We don't know yet, because they're clearly freeing up cap space for something.
Right.
I don't know if they want a Panarin. There's some rumors they want Anders Lee, who might get $8 or $9 million, so they need some cap space, but it's a gamble, because they might be trying for these big names and not get them. So, I don't know. It remains to be seen what Montreal is going to do with the cap space they freed up. But it looks like they did have some plan for today. Whether or not it happens, we'll have to find out.
I'm interested to see how Shaw fits differently under Jeremy Colliton. When we knew what he was and what the expectations were under Joel Quenneville. But as they're doing more pressure stuff here, what do you think he's going to be? When you say checks the boxes, do we know what his role is going to be in a Colliton system?
I think he's going to be very much the same player for Jeremy Colliton. Because Colliton and Bowman, but especially Colliton, all offseason have talked about the fact that they are not hard enough to play against. And I know that's hockey lingo, and I know it causes people to roll their eyes, but they've got a lot of perimeter players. By getting Andrew Shaw on the roster, they got a guy who's willing to go to the net, who's willing to score playoff style goals. That's something they did not have last year. And John Hayden was supposed to be that guy. He's not. He's gone. Aside from him, they don't really have any big or forwards that play big. So Shaw's going to play that role, go in front of the net, deflect shots. Dylan Strom did it last year just kind of out of necessity, but it's nice to have a guy that is willing to do it. They could use another guy or two like that.
Just got this in the email box. The Chicago Blackhawks announced today that they've agreed to terms with forward Ryan Carpenter on a 3-year deal that runs through the 2021-2022 season, $1 million annual average value. Carpenter, a Vegas Knight the last 2 years, and set career highs in points and assists at 18 and 13 and played in 68 games, did Ryan Carpenter. I don't know if size tells you anything about the style he likes to play, but 6 foot, 200 pound for Ryan Carpenter.
That's a guy who will fill out your bottom six. He's a faceoff winner. He's a penalty killer. It definitely fills a need. Now there's not so many question mark players on the bottom of the roster there. That's a name that's been mentioned a lot over the last week. Makes a lot of sense. Good, cheap deal. You can never have too many guys like that. He will be not flashy by any means, but to get a guy who checks those boxes of killing penalties and winning faceoffs, aside from Taves, the Hawks don't really have a great faceoff guy. Strome was great in Arizona, but then dropped off when he got here. So a face-off winner, penalty killer, that's a need they had, and Ryan Carpenter definitely fills it, so that's good.
Jay, thank you.
Yeah.
There you go. That's all you need. That's as up to the minute as it gets.
That's your man.
There it is. This segment sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners. No calories. Available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. Well, what more do you need to know from Mike Francesa when he starts breaking down his thoughts on what NBA free agency is going to look like and what role the Knicks are going to play and how some of these decisions are going to get made? I guess all I can tell you is this was a couple days ago, and this is Mike Francesa. I think this was Friday.
Yes.
It is Mike Francesa peering into the future.
Mike, there's one variable that's remained the same for 20 years, and it's the owner. Why would Kevin Durant want to come play for James Dolan? If he really wants to come to New York and build the brand and prove he's the king of New York, go to Brooklyn, Mike.
No, listen, that's comical. That's comical because the difference between being in Madison Square Garden, the difference between being in the Barclays, and this is not meant to in any way to disparage the Barclays Center, but to compare the Barclays Center to Madison Square Garden might be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, okay? As far as I'm concerned, if I was Durant, Jim Dolan wouldn't be a factor. He's going to pay me whatever I want. He's going to wine and dine me. He's going to give me anything he wants. What is Jim Dolan not going to do for him? Jim Dolan's going to give him anything he wants.
Well, listen, I mean, Mike, I love you. I'm a fan of yours for years. All right? I don't think anybody's even close to you. But, Michael, not for nothing. Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center, I agree. It's a better stadium. But it's definitely not bringing anybody here. I mean,
what?
Let's be honest.
Wait a second. This is one of the most famous arenas in the world.
Michael, where's the free agents the past 25 years? It's so famous.
Wait a second. They have never, ever, ever been in the position they are in now. New York City and Madison Square Garden are not a drawing card. That's what we've come to in life. The Madison Square Garden and New York City are not drawing cards. People come here and save their best game of their life. LeBron James has always turned it on at Madison Square Garden. Michael Jordan always turned it on at Madison Square Garden. Why? People love to come play. Great players love to come play at Madison Square Garden. Why? Because it's Madison Square Garden. Now all of a sudden Madison Square Garden doesn't matter anymore.
That is, like so many things, just delicious. I love
The caller's good. My favorite part is this is where we've come to in life.
That's amazing.
It's a life issue. This is where we've come to in human existence.
Michael, where have they
really
been the last...
If he wants to come to New York and build the brand and prove he's the king of New York, go to Brooklyn, Mike.
No, listen, that's comical.
Oh, that's just amazing.
And the fact that Dolan didn't offer to pay him what he wanted.
No, and then offered a press release explaining why he wouldn't. What are you doing? By the way... Julius Randle, come on through. Everybody will love you. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're going to be booed for eternity here in Madison Square Garden because you're not Kevin Durant.
Another Woj bomb just came through.
What
here.
Do we got?
Adrian Wojnarowski tweets, Miami is finalizing a trade to send center Hassan Whiteside to Portland for Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard.
Ugh. All right. Well, I told you that. That the two of them would not coexist in Miami.
Won't
that
have
was
to.
Not going to happen at all, and they were going to move that
$27 million. I don't know what Portland's doing there.
Me neither. I
mean, they're a little thin on the wing, unless they're just saying, well, they traded for Kent Bazemore, and they were able to re-sign Rodney Hood, so they replace Aminu and Harkless, and then Hassan Whiteside's going to be cool being... Nurkic's backup when he's healthy, and is he going to start before then?
No, but at least Miami got rid of Hassan's money.
Right, I'm looking at a Portland perspective, though, because they're a more fun team to think about.
Oh, God, you're 100% right on that. I mean, God, is there a franchise that moved in free agency where you know they're going to, you know, exactly what they're going to be for the next 2-3 seasons more than Miami?
They're going to defend.
Yeah.
And not make shots.
Hard. They're going to defend really hard. It's a Jim Boylan
team. For this year, they're probably better. They're better than the Bulls. Like, I'm looking at it for people that have started to bring up playoffs for the Bulls. There's six teams that are pretty well locked in. Because I think even if Toronto loses Kawhi Leonard, unless they decide to tear it down a little bit, they're still in. But you got two teams between the Magic, Pistons, Heat, Hawks, and Bulls for two spots. I'd be surprised if the Bulls are better than, you know, most of those teams.
Sure. I mean, that would mean Zach LaVine is everything you asked him to be. He's also healthy, and that would be, I mean, from my perspective,
means that's Markkanen takes another step.
And, I mean, and it's a pretty good rookie season from Kobe White, I think, too.
Probably. Yeah.
In order to do that, I think that's a pretty damn good rookie season.
That's the thing, is how long are they going to let Satoransky start and have Kobe White not? Because rookie point guards just don't play well to start, and that's just how rookie point guards are. But that's part of what I like about Satoransky and Young is, you know what they are. They're stabilizers, kind of like Otto Porter. So, right, in theory, you're putting the guys that you truly care about in better positions to succeed, at least in theory.
Yeah, and then you're letting Jim Boylan run the practice and hopefully not the offense. I'm with you, though. I think it's a better team than not, but I think they might get squeezed out of a playoff spot despite the moves they've made.
I've got something for a lucky caller in just a moment. Ooh. Stick around for a couple of minutes, and when we come back, you're going to get a cue to call, and you might win a round of golf for two at the top-rated Bog Golf Club in Saukville, Wisconsin, one of Arnold Palmer's top five courses in the country. So don't go anywhere. You got Bernstein and McKnight on the score. On August 5th, you can come out for something very, very special, joining 670 The Score for the McNeil and Parkins Charity Golf Outing. We're going to be at Seven Bridges Golf Club, enjoying a day of golf with your friends and favorite Score personalities, local celebs. It all benefits Turning Point Autism Foundation, so buy your foursome before it sells out. Visit 670thescore.com/golfouting now. That's 670thescore.com/golfouting. Before we get to your golf prize, by the way, because when I think of Seven Bridges, I think about the places where they let me go,
yeah, you go fishing, aren't you?
I had a fishing first. What? On Saturday. I caught something I've never caught before.
Tire.
I caught a species of fish. Shoot. That was, no, I had to crowdsource the identification of it. Because I went out to Bussy Woods. I had the day to myself. My wife was working, and my daughter was busy with friends. So, mm-hmm, I'm like, oh, I'm just sitting. And it was lovely. So I said, I'm going to go fishing. So I drove out to Elk Grove, and I think I'm understanding the Bussy Lake a little bit now.
Feeling
better.
Some?
Feeling it a little bit. I'm starting to get it. There's some trails. It's a lot of hiking through the brambles and the mulberry bushes. A little scratched up, but there's fish in there. I caught a yellow bass. I caught a couple of largemouth. I caught a black crappie. Saw a bunch of bluegills were on the bed, so they really weren't all that interested. You ever a yellow bass? It's a relative of a striped bass and a white bass. Small, and it looked like a white bass with the exception of a yellowish tint to it. And I put it out there on Twitter. Dale Bowman was quick to rise and say, "Goes, yep, yellow bass." So I can put a checkbox next to that. That was a first.
I caught you a delicious bass.
Yeah, I think you
terrific
probably,
bass.
I bet you can probably eat him. I guess from you now, I need a single digit number.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Caller 7 to the contest line, 312-591-6700. The contest line wins a round of golf for two at the top-rated Bog Golf Club. Located in Saukville, Wisconsin, the Bog is one of Arnold Palmer's top five courses in the country. Want more information? Visit golfthebog.com. Lawrence Holmes is ready to go. I guess his mouth works today. Everything's better. It's all good. I guess he had kind of a rough one on Friday, but everything's cool now, and we're going to do transition next on The Score.
Do, baby.
Yeah. Lawrence Holmes is better. He's here, and the swelling is down. He's even smiling. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm okay. Thursday night to Friday day is a bit of a blur.
Sounds like you went through hell, man.
It wasn't great. It wasn't great. And here I was, like, Thursday night going, if I could just get to sleep. If I could get to sleep, then I could focus. Because I was supposed to be on stadium Friday morning. Mm-hmm. And then at about 11 o'clock, as I'm sitting there holding my face in incredible pain, I was like, I'm not making a 6 a.m. meeting.
Not going to make it.
I'm not making happening. That, so that's probably not going to happen. And then I was like, can I even talk? Like, these were the conversations that were going on inside my head as I felt the pain. Can I even talk? Because Mel
it's
was
a
out
talk
of
show.
Right. Because yeah. Mel was out of town, so it wasn't like I had anyone to give me objective feedback on how I sounded.
Right, right, right.
We want to thank our guests today, Scott Agnes and Mark Schanowski, Zawoski, Camp Diaz, and Gertz, Joe Ostrowski. Tomorrow, Joe Sheehan's going to join us, and we got more coming your way. Were you at Pride yesterday?
I was not impressed because I had to pick Mel up at the airport. Last year I was on the XRT float with Terry Himmert, which was a real experience and a lot of fun. It got washed out like right when I got Mel from the airport and we were thinking about going down is when the end of time storm came rolling through.
Thankfully, it wasn't as bad as it looked like it was going to be because that front edge of that thing looked fearsome.
It was terrifying. But we made it home before things got bad, and by us, it kind of came and went. It was just like quick downpour, and then it was gone. But it just—I was just sitting there going, "Oh, there's no way we're going up north and dealing with that." Because that, though, it could be fun. If ever there was a parade where I feel like that could enhance what the activity. The Pride Parade in Chicago might be one that I would look at and go, people are going to have some fun with this.
Yeah, what did I hear? I was listening to Jason Thomas on XRT as we were getting back, and he said, I think the people who are there for the Pride Parade will still find a way to have a good time.
I do, too. And the neighborhood itself, I'm sure, had a great time yesterday. So I had a wonderful experience last year. Next year, we should just have a score float.
Be great. Be absolutely great. Right?
I'm in. Oh, I'm absolutely in.
Shane was at the parade yesterday. We should just do a score float next year at Pride. So, Mitch Rosen, get on it.
Does that mean we do, like, float building and stuff like we did back in high school and everything?
Well, someone's going to build the float for us, I would imagine.
You don't do that yourself? We can't, like, all get together at Molly's house or something? Construct it in the driveway?
I don't know how to do it. I just know how to ride on it and wave.
Well, you're very good at that.
That's it. I can do the princess wave.
The skill set you bring.
The Duchess of Sussex wave.
That's the it's elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist.
Yeah,
right?
that's all you got to do.
That's the phrase.
That's all one has to do. But I am hopefully back for a little while, and I'll be doing the show today. So thank you guys for doing the show.
No problem.
In between my comas on Friday... I heard, did you guys bring back Friday Funk?
We did. Yeah, we had a blast with it. Everybody was immediately back in the spirit of it.
Okay, good. Then I'm glad that the show was in good hands for those 2 hours.
Are you procuring tickets to Wednesday's White Sox game?
I already have tickets.
You're already set.
White Sox
game. All right, I wasn't sure if that was part of your whole, you know, the season.
Strangely enough, I have it, but I actually gave two to Gert, so I have another pair. And I haven't decided if I'm going to go or if this might be a good opportunity to maybe make some money for a charity.
Oh.
You know, maybe, you know, because people have been nice enough if I throw out tickets. I gave my tickets away on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I gave them to family. I gave them to Shayna Goff, who took my tickets on Saturday.
Nice.
And we hung out a little bit, which was great. But usually when I throw the tickets out on Instagram, like people will... They take them, and if I say, hey, if you make a small donation to White Sox Charities
nice.
Or to anything else that I might be involved with, they usually do, and then we pick a winner, and then they get to go. And this time, they get to go see maybe one of the new guys that's going to be in your rotation for a while.
Yeah, we were talking pitching profile with him about what to look for. If fastball sits, what, about 96?
Yeah, something like that.
And it's a big breaking curveball that he throws.
It's gross, is what it, I remember watching the first time in spring. The first time I saw him in spring training was 16. No, 17. I guess it was 17. And just seeing it is different. I mean, he's making it bend and fight like that in the dry air in Arizona, and I just think. You know, there are, you wander the backfields and you hear stories of, like, you know, the guys who, it sounds different when the ball leaves their bat, or it sounds different when they pop the catcher's mitt. Cease was one of those guys. I mean, you could hear him working as you were kind of running around the corner because it sounds different. He's that kind of stuff.
Well, it things have gone really well for most of the young guys that they've brought up this past season. You make a great deal, I think, for McCann, and now he ends up being an all-star, mm-hmm. which is fantastic, and I'm wondering what happens, if it's better to have Giolito start the all-star game, or is it better to have him with his catcher in the all-star game?
I don't want any of my players playing in any all-star game.
None?
No
players at all playing in the all-star game?
You know, let them tip their cap and walk out on the line. I mean, even if they don't want to travel, they don't have to travel. I don't want Javier Baez and Wilson Contreras racking up travel hours and innings they don't need.
Yeah, but it's Cleveland. You know what I mean?
It's a 4-hour drive.
I know, but it's just part of my whole worry thing. Of course, with the Cubs, it happens to be the two guys you are actively trying to find rest for, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
the two guys that it's rare for them to ask for a break.
Right.
And trying to find spaces where you can take them out of the lineup is difficult because the rest of your roster construction.
Yep.
So, yeah, I get that part of it. But they seemed like genuinely happy that they were voted in as the starters. With the video that the Cubs put out, like, they were jacked up about it. So I'm all for them going, and you know what it is. I mean, they'll go out there for a couple of innings, and then they'll not be there anymore. Yeah, how about Aloy? Yeah. Could I interest you in Aloy in the home run derby?
Yes. Yes, you can. You can absolutely do that. And, sure. And it sounds like Javi Baez is second-guessing his participation in the home run derby, which is nice, because if it is just going to be the tip a cap and wave a little bit and play your inning and a half or whatever, I would like him out of the home run derby just from an injury perspective. I'd watch Eloy Jimenez in the home run derby for sure.
Well, the thing about Baez now is I think that his star is big enough that while it would be cool for him to be in the home run derby, it's not as if it enhances the legend of Javi Baez is already pretty legendary.
Yeah, it's also the idea that the home run derby isn't the home run derby anymore because actual baseball is now a home run derby. So the whole thing is different. I mean, just the idea of back, look how far he hit it. We were saying to make it more like Mario Super Sluggers, or just put targets, put things, put devices out there, a point scoring system,
skilled hitting.
Yeah.
So like make it the old quarterback competition that they used to have, yeah. where they're love out that. There doing yeah. hitting targets and
let them hit their dingers. You know what I mean? They're gonna sock some. Like, let it go out of the ballpark, and you can see that too. Like, but varying aiming points and multiple points is they'd be
yeah.
Fun.
Certain color baseball, if it's opposite field, is worth double, and this color, if you hit it in between these areas, is worth more. You know, there could be all sorts of layers to it.
Well, that's what Javi's done this year. Haven't most of his home runs been opposite field home runs?
They have.
I think 9 of his home runs have been Oppo.
Yeah, it's weird to see, or it's been weird for me to watch the Cubs succeed so much, especially slugging-wise, to the opposite field, and yet still have the run-scoring issues that they have had with a bunch of ground balls. I mean, they've hit a lot of ground balls. A lot of those have been double plays because they're one of the better teams in baseball in terms of an on-base percentage.
A lot of hard-hit ground balls, and the guy who usually hits the hard-hit ground balls lifted a couple yesterday, Jason Hayward. You know, he's the king of the 100 mile per hour exit velocity grounder to second.
I was just looking this up. Do you know what he's slugging in his last 30 starts? It covers 33 games because he's come in as a
650?
976.
I was going to say 700.
Over his last 30 starts, it's a 976 slugging percentage.
It's weird how the Cubs seem to be able to get by with a little bit of that from time to time, where you have this power outage that happens on your team, mm-hmm. but then you get a great month from a Jason Hayward, or when he was still playing, like Ben Zobrist gets hot for 25 games.
David Bodie did that last year for 25 games.
And then in the end, it's the guys that you kind of always depend on to be those guys. But it is strange how that seems to happen quite a bit. I don't know. One of the things I want to, if we have time today, to get into is what I'm seeing from the Cubs, them not being as good, or the rest of their division getting better. Because I'm not sure. Like, I think the Brewers are good. I think the Cubs are better. I think the Cardinals are okay. But even coming into the season, I thought that the Pirates and the Reds would be heard from.
The Cardinals are not okay if Goldschmidt's bad now.
Yeah, if he's bad, they got a whole bunch of problems.
Yeah, I don't think really to concede that he'll be bad, but he's certainly not looking like Paul Goldschmidt. You know what I mean? Well, I'm just saying for what the rest of the season may hold. I think couldn't it still be both though? I mean, if the Cubs offensively lack the depth you're used to seeing them have since 2015, really 2016. And the Reds have Derek Dietrich, you know, in the back end of their line, and a
resurging Joey Votto,
right? And if the Cardinals have, you know, Colton Wong
Suarez
and Paul DeYoung hitting, you know, like that, those kind of things mean the balance. I think that's why this division, regardless of who wins it, and I still think, accepting injuries, that the Cubs still will win it. I think you could see it won with 88, 89 wins.
Anyone else feel the Hendricks thing is like a little rushed?
It's curious that he's ready to go when
he
Cole
says
Hamels
he's 100%.
That's curious.
If Cole Hamels doesn't go down, do we not see Kyle Hendricks until after the All-Star break?
I think that's probably true.
I don't think it's true.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.